Processing the official podcast of pixelverdict.com. This is episode 91. In today's exciting episode, we're going to separate the boys from the men, the gamers from the posers, and hopefully we're going to do it without any mention of the words Two Worlds 2. I'm John Mercer. I'm covering this week for Steve, who's unfortunately out with a debilitating case of the fallouts. With me is my fellow Canadian console jockey and stalwart PC gaming powerhouse, Iron Adam Arsenault. Adam, how are you doing?
Ahoy. I'm doing good.
Sweet. Always good to hear.
I like how I'm a PC gaming powerhouse by default, just because I play less console games than everybody else.
Well, you play World of Warcraft. That's on PC.
That's true. If they had their way, they'd bring it to consoles, I'm sure.
I wouldn't put anything past Blizzard or Activision.
Seriously.
Yeah, if they could do it, if I'm not going to say if the market was there, because the market is there. Although, you know, perhaps if they brought it to consoles, they'd be taking away from their own PC market.
Yeah, but I mean, every time BioWare does anything, I get more and more nervous about that.
Yeah. So, my wife's out in the other room. I'm going to, and it's my first time hosting a podcast, so I'm going to try to keep this one nice and tight this evening. So I thought we'd start off with, you know, the usual. What have you been playing this, well, lately?
Well, not too much. I picked up a copy of, you know, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, because I'm, like, perpetually behind the times with everybody.
Yeah, but it's always fun to hear about that, because then you get a fresh take on a game that's been out for a couple months, and...
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds you of the good stuff you might have missed.
Yeah. I mean, I really haven't had much chance to go into it, but my suspicions were confirmed. It really does feel like it should be, you know, it's like almost like it's an expansion pack to Assassin's Creed 2. You know, like it just keeps going where the storyline would have gone. And it's awesome, because I was totally enjoying Assassin's Creed 2, and then it stopped. So I get to keep playing, and I'm psyched. I haven't had a chance to play the multiplayer. Here it's a lot of fun in, like, a stressed-out, paranoid kind of way.
Yeah, I believe a couple of weeks ago when we did our big year-end spectacular, you know, a couple of weeks into the new year, I do believe Blair actually picked Assassin's Creed Brotherhood as his game of the year.
I believe he did. And yeah, it's totally great. I just need to spend a little more time cracking it. And I'm on Warcraft's on hiatus. I'm burned out again.
Yeah.
It happens. I go in phases, like you know, lunar cycles, where, you know, I play it a lot to the point where I stop feeding myself and bathing and things like that, and then kick it for a couple months and reconnect with parents and friends and things like that. So no Warcraft, but I've been putting a little time into some PC gaming. I've been playing a game called Magicka, which is a lot of fun.
What's
Magicka? Magicka with a K. It's a,
Yeah, that's like extra magic right there.
Yes, that's right. It's extra magical.
Wasn't that one of the X-Men's names?
It's a game I don't... Magicka. I'm not sure. Could be. I downloaded it on Steam for, you know, $10. It was, some of the people I was playing Warcraft with were discussing it as a game that was stealing them away from Warcraft, so I figured I'd give it a shot. It's fun. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek...
Coincidentally, you go on Warcraft hiatus.
Exactly. Coincidentally. Well, there's, you know, I kicked heroin, I'm onto crack. What? It's fine. But it's fun. It's kind of, you know, Diablo inspired, you know, 3/4 view multiplayer dungeon scroller where you can play one of four robed wizards who have to go on a magical quest, and it's a really interesting combat system where you have 8 keys. So on your keyboard, QWER, ASDF, that are assigned to elements. So one button is fire, one button is water, one button is earth, one button is lightning, one button is ice, you know? And by combining different combinations of different elements, different spells occur.
I'm guessing this is all more badass than Harry Potter.
It's very badass. So, you know, like you could, you know, if you just keep pounding on the earth button, you'll shoot giant boulders at people. But if you, you know, combine two earths with a fire, you'll shoot a fireball.
Sounds like that. Or, there was an old Genesis game like that where, you had magical rings you'd put on.
Yeah.
You combine the two of them together and get different attacks.
So and then it mixes up these different environmental effects. So if you shoot water, you'll spray like a jet of water at people, which doesn't really do any damage, but it gets them wet. And if they're wet, you can either freeze them or you can shoot them with lightning and it does extra damage. But some of the spells will get you wet, so you'll cast like a rainstorm. And if you try to cast a lightning spell, you'll kill yourself horribly because you electrocute yourself. And there's defensive spells where you have to put up like barriers of rock and ice. And so the enemies kind of come at you in waves, just like Diablo. You're moving from point A to point B. And, you know, you go through the guys who just have swords and you just wipe them out. And then you start fighting guys that can cast spells too. And the next thing you know, they're just like, you know, treants are coming up from the ground to attack you. And you're like, you can't figure out what to do. And there's a lot of button mashing and screaming.
Are treants flammable?
Extremely, but they hit me with their wooden fists and then I die.
Okay.
So it's tough because you kind of have to balance your moving the character around to position him outside of the things that are on fire, the things that are trying to stab you, all the explosions. You also have to remember which key is assigned to which element and which spell equals which combination of what in order to cast the right spells. So it's actually kind of frantic. It's a lot of fun.
Is there any sort of cooldown time for the spells? You know, you hit a key and you gotta wait a couple seconds before.
Not really. So what you do is you have like charges.
Yeah.
So you have like 5. So you can, if you push fire, you have 5 little magic elements. And then when you sort of click with your mouse, it releases them.
Okay.
So you can queue them. So you can load them up. But the trick is that the more of them you queue up, the slower your character walks.
Ah.
So you can't just walk around with a huge fireball loaded because you'll walk at like an inch per second
okay. And
go nowhere. So mobility is key because you're trying to escape enemies. You're trying to escape other spells that are being cast at you. So you kind of have to balance between how many of these spells you load up
I'm guessing every now and again, though, you get that one magic moment where you can like dig in like a piece of artillery and throw the gigantic fireball at someone.
Oh, yeah. And there's so in addition to these kind of mixing elements where, you know, you have like a, you can mix the fire and the ice and the earth to do this, there's these sort of upper echelon recipes where if you mix certain combinations in a certain specific order, you get like uber spells, like meteor showers and things like that. Where you can just lay waste to like entire groups of people, and those have to be unlocked as the story progresses. Hidden in little nooks and crannies.
This sounds like a lot of fun, though. You said $10 on Steam?
$10, man. It's I gotta tell you, I'm really starting to appreciate, and I guess it's because I'm broke, like extraordinarily broke. I'm really starting to appreciate kind of this sort of low budget indie gaming thing, you know, like just looking on Steam, what's 39 cents? Oh, I'll get that, you know, and I'm having a lot of fun
with
it.
Actually, a friend of mine was telling me that right after Christmas, he said, you know, they even had like these crazy holiday sales on there where you know, he was getting games that were $40 and $50 in the stores and downloading for $10 and $15.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, they had, you know, a little while ago, they had both Mass Effect games up for like $5. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a hell of a bargain.
And
if $5 is too much for Mass Effect, you're an idiot.
Well, that's the thing. And even if you already own it on a console at that price, it's practically just an impulse buy to play the PC version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun, I got to tell you.
And you got to impulse buy a new graphics card, though.
Well, yeah, there's always that, but yeah, those are the two I've been playing primarily. What about you?
It's been a It was a bit of a slow week for me. You know, I was kind of down the doldrums after that. After I reviewed Despicable Me for the Wii. Like that was.
Was that a little too traumatic for you?
Oh yeah, it was. But you know, I bounced back in a big way. Today was the release day for Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh, it sure was.
Was it? Did you pick up a copy?
I remember I was saying I was really, really broke.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. I'm saving the pennies.
You gotta go ask your wife for money.
I could ask her. Can I have some money? She's not. She doesn't look like.
I just heard a what in the background. I think I heard the distinctive sound of a knife being sharpened. Or testing some bludgeoning tool.
Exactly. But I'm basically stalking the game online.
Yeah,
I'm reading every article, reading all the reviews, looking at all the YouTube videos. I'm stoked.
Well, I managed to score a copy a few days early to, you know, basically get a review out of the way. And I say that like it's so much work. Man, they only pay me to review video games.
It's a tough life. Yeah.
But no, you remember like a few weeks ago, last time we were talking, I know you and I were kind of tearing the game a new one because the videos made it look so much slower than Marvel Capcom 2, and MODOK really sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you want to know something? I've got absolutely no I've got one complaint about it, but I'll more on that now in a minute. But you know, I honestly I couldn't be happier. Wow.
That's awesome.
It's from the minute I booted it up, it's just everything I could have wanted in the Marvel Capcom crossover type deal. You know, there's little to no story to it. It's
as there should be, yeah. Really, when you think about it.
I mean, there's more story than Marvel Capcom 2, but you know, basically it's just Dr. Doom's a dickhead, Wesker's a dickhead, and hey, Galactus!
I have an important question. How is the theme song? Does it take you for a ride?
Actually, that's hilarious enough. There are a couple of remixes of Take You for a Ride in the game.
That's fantastic.
There's, and you unlock more songs the more you play. But thankfully, when you actually start the game, there's no soft jazz.
But I like the soft
jazz. I know Dan Mancini's going to weep tears now when he hears that. But I
like the soft jazz.
But no, they Capcom kind of reached back into the old library. I mean, they've been doing these Marvel fighting games I think they did them throughout most of the 90s. And they've actually gone back and gotten, like, Spider-Man's stage theme from Marvel Super Heroes and Wolverine stage theme from X-Men Children of the Atom, you know, Captain America stage theme from Marvel Super Heroes, and then they remixed all that, you know. And the way it works, if you set the there's actually a soundtrack option. You can turn it on dynamic mode, which just plays, you know, this generic sounding Mark Mancina style epic action score. I just use generic and epic to describe one thing. Wow. But you can set it on classic mode, in which case it starts doing the remixes, and they happen. You'll get the. It plays the theme music of the captain of the opposing team, but when you knock out the captain and his replacement jumps in, it starts playing their theme.
Nice.
And yeah, there's just some cool stuff in there. You know, it's got they actually have the Coal Chamber song from Devil May Cry 3 for Dante. You know, there's a bunch of really, really cool music. And then you've got the graphics are just absolutely incredible.
Cool.
You know, there's color going everywhere, and there's all the characters got this whole, they got these big thick black outlines on them like they were inked by Jimmy Palmiotti. And then, you know, the big special attacks will actually tear chunks out of the screen like it's made of paper. You'll actually see, like, for a split second, you'll see the background on the upcoming level or something when Wolverine's claws go through someone.
That's very cool.
Now, the fighting itself... Sorry, I just had to get some water there. The fighting itself, you know, it's pretty much what you'd expect. You got the 3-on-3 battles. It is a little bit slower than Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But I actually went back and tried out Marvel vs. Capcom 2 while I was doing my review for Part 3. That hasn't aged all that well. You know, it was... I still do consider it a great fighting game, but my God, was it ever broken?
Well, it was... It's the pinnacle of that kind of broken glitch fighting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they... You know, Capcom's been kicking out fighting games forever. I mean,
this one was basically any sprite we have that looks any good, let's throw it in there.
I mean, who besides Capcom has done more fighting games? Like SNK, maybe.
Yeah, but how many even were on Capcom's level, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, they had the branches of games. You know, Street Fighter kind of went in this one direction, and then it kind of started to go more technical when you got into the different flavors. Yeah, and
the whole versus thing, in my belief, actually kind of has its roots in Darkstalkers.
Absolutely, you know, that kind of over-the-top, crazy fighting game.
Exactly. I mean, and then you got, like, X-Men Children of the Atom started introducing the air blocking and the...
Yeah.
Multi-level super bars and everything, right?
Yeah. Jumping 20 stories in the air, doing air combos, you know, just all that kind of crazy stuff, you know?
And this one here feels a little bit slower, but at the same time, you know... Do you ever notice, like, Marvel Capcom 2, everyone, after 10 years, had it boiled down to every time you see someone playing, they'd be playing as Magneto, Sentinel, and Storm?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, because that was... It had balance issues.
Yeah.
Tremendous balance issues.
And
I mean...
Marvel Capcom 3, as crazy as it is, and as, like, hair-trigger fast-paced as it is, it just... It doesn't have those balance issues. Every character brings something to the table that if you can figure out how to use them and be sneaky enough with them, you can, you know, you can take down the Magneto Sentinel Storm combination, which is still a powerhouse team in this game.
But I mean, Capcom, you know, I tread into some waters here. You know, I like fighting games as much as the next fella, but, and you know, yeah. I don't hang out on, like, you know, Shoryuken.com or anything, so.
Watching the combo videos.
Yeah.
Running them in slow motion, figuring out how to do it.
Yeah, I gotta be careful here. But as far as I'm understanding, Capcom's only really recently figured out how to make a balanced fighting game. I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah, with Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 4, and every iteration they've made has gotten more and more balanced.
Yeah, and it's just, and actually, it's honestly, it's after Street Fighter 4, when you go back and play their old 2D stuff, as marvelous as it was, you start to realize
it's tremendously unbalanced.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this one here has got a bunch of little, you know, they kind of went with what they've learned with Street Fighter 4 and put it in here. You know, you've got this, for one, there's three attack buttons. There's no more light, medium, and hard kick and light, medium, and hard punch. You've just got light, medium, and hard, and it does whatever animation would look cool in that situation. But because of that, you've got characters like Dante, who everyone's special attacks, you know, are categorized by the motion input you put in before you hit attack. And, you know, with someone like Dante, depending on what, or even Deadpool, same way too, depending on what button you've hit, these guys have got up to 30 special attacks. You know, some of it's just as simple as changing the elevation of the projectile they throw, or, you know, in Dante's case, he breaks out pretty much every special weapon you pick up in the entire Devil May Cry franchise. it's a lot of fun. You know, there's a fourth situational button just called special, and usually, like, when you're on the ground, you'll hit it and it'll knock the enemy straight up in the air for an air combo.
Right.
You can follow them up, and then if you hit it again in midair, it'll automatically switch out to another teammate, and they'll jump in and continue the combo for you.
And,
you know, it's really cool, because you got these levels which are four stories high, and you're just, you know, doing the huge combo, bringing them right to the top, and then the last guy hits him with a hit to pile drive him straight down into the ground again. And, but you got this new special ability called the X-Factor. If you hit all four attack buttons at once... your guy gets an automatic boost in offense and defense, which lasts a bit longer if he's the last person left on your team. Another neat, really neat trick it does, I saw this in one of the video reviews I watched, and I had to try it myself today, is it actually resets their animation back to zero. So you can actually use it to cancel out of a super move and go into another one.
Right.
You know, kind of like the EX focuses from Street Fighter 4.
That's kind of cool. So there's that technical element still there.
Now, the only problem I've really had with the X Factor is, and this was pointed out to me by somebody, is you get, if you got a character who's got like a big projectile-based super move, like Ryu's got his giant screen-filling Hadouken.
Right.
You know, if they do the X Factor when they've got five full super bears, you know, they can just, you're doing enough damage now that even if they're blocking, the chip damage is significant. So you can just throw five of them in a row, and, you know, there's no real way to out-and-out avoid that attack. You have to block it or tag in someone new. If they're in an option where they just got to stand there and take that attack, you know, five of them is pretty much enough to KO anyone.
Right, right.
So, that it can turn the tide of a fight, but that does lead to a small little balance issue in itself.
Right.
But, I mean, you got all these... It's chump change to really complain about, because you got this great roster, you got 36 characters there, everyone feels different. You know, you got some guys who are all out and out offense, you got guys who are actually really defensive, and you got really cool characters like Dormammu, who's every one of his special attacks is about controlling the opponent's position on the screen. You know, he creates these big giant obstacles that if they walk into hurt a lot. So, basically, I think anyone who enjoyed the earlier Marvel Versus games, by all means, pick it up. You know, there's going to be curmudgeonly fight fans who are going to turn up their nose at it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's something you think that would interest you, give it a try. I had some harsh words to say about it at first. You know, I kind of misunderstood the what Capcom were selling, but you know, like you said, once it's only recently they've really come up with that perfectly balanced fighting engine.
Yeah. And yet, I can't imagine a world where, you know, MODOK is perfectly balanced anything.
I know.
Crazy.
I mean,
or what do you play? Did you pick it up for which the console?
PS3.
Yeah,
I don't really have a functioning 360.
Ah.
Yeah, I can do reviews over at friends and houses, but it's just it's a sad, sad story. Right after I bought Alan Wake and Splinter Cell Conviction.
Ooh.
So I got two of them sitting on my shelf, waiting to be played.
Yeah, that's another one. Alan Wake was another one I meant to get around to.
Yeah.
One of these days.
Exactly. And besides Marvel Capcom 3, there's going to be handled a lot more in-depth when my review... Well, my review should probably be up on the site by the time people are listening to this podcast. Hopefully. Actually, no, wait, that's probably tomorrow. It'll be up the weekend. Daddy needs to rest. I'll handle it a little... You know, I'll talk about it a little more in-depth. Mario Kart fans, don't read the review.
Mario Kart. Now I'm curious.
Let's just say John does not like simple mode. I felt insulted by simple mode.
We need to spend 30 seconds at least talking about how the depth of your insult.
Well, simple mode, you know, kind of cuts down about 2/3 of every character's arsenal and basically programs it into the 4 face buttons.
Yep.
So, you know, you got 2 face buttons will break out combos. One of them will do an air combo, and you got another one. Or one, sorry, 2 for combos, 1 for special attacks, and 1 for a single hyper combo. So it's just, it's the most brainless fight. It makes for the most brainless fighting game ever. And what's so horrible about it is, you know, I suppose they're saying, well, let's do this so Grandma can play with little Jimmy. You know, just like Mario Kart. But anyone using simple mode, taking on a player who's got even the slightest bit of experience with this game is going to get destroyed. You know, you've got none of your tools at your disposal.
Doesn't it seem a little schizophrenic to put in like a training wheel mode?
Yeah, especially when the game's got a training mode.
for a well-balanced
fighter.
Yeah, when you see fighting games experiment with this like simple mode, you know.
I mean, it didn't work with. I believe they had it in Tatsunoko Pro on the Wii.
Yep.
And I figured
yep.
that was just a Wii thing, right?
Well, I mean, at least on the Wii, you can make an argument. You know, there's like a fighting game on the Wii,
exactly.
and that was it. And they already knew that the hardcore, you know, fighting game demographic doesn't trade in that particular console. So, they had to do something to kind of open it up to other people. I get that. But we'll make a special exception there.
And then you got Marvel Capcom 3. People have been waiting for this game for, what, 11 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just waiting, but clamoring for it. And everyone's going to be staring at this game under a microscope. And this simple mode, the only word I can really think of is insulting. It really, really feels insulting. It's just the lamest thing I can think of.
Right. Now, do you think they're going to tweak it? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're in that period of gaming development where once the game ships, it's not necessarily done.
Oh no! Well,
because
I mean,
you can tweak it and you can patch it and you can, you know.
Okay, there's already a download pack coming on March 15th that comes with Jill Valentine on the Capcom side and Shuma Gorath on the Marvel side.
Ah, Shuma Gorath.
On launch day earlier the week, there was a trailer went out. The launch day trailer, and at the end of that trailer, they showed off the first set of downloadable alternate costumes.
Yep.
Right now, I mean, they're promising that's going to be spectacularly cheap, but I can see them going down the Street Fighter 4 route with this. You know, you get one pack of costumes, covers maybe four or five characters, and then have to buy another couple months down the road.
Yeah, well, if you're out there buying costumes for your fighters, I got to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, it's like buying horse armor for Oblivion.
I have to have a conversation with the people who bought that, too.
We'll talk to Steve next time he comes online.
Oh.
I'm just kidding, Steve. Get well soon.
Oh, Steve. This is the reason for your illness.
Karma.
The evil is inside you.
It just took a few years to wake up.
Okay, but to be fair, when the horse came out in Oblivion, this was pretty new. I mean, it was a fresh concept.
You were going online and spending money on bling that nobody else could see because the game is not online.
It was. I wouldn't say it was ahead of its time because it was, you know, wasn't. But it was.
I got my horse up on 22s.
There wasn't a lot of success with that kind of microtransaction at that point yet.
No. That kind of opened the floodgates, though, for downloadable costumes.
Yeah. I mean, and it was so schizophrenic because it was like everybody was like, I'm not paying that to pimp out my horse. And then everybody was just like, hey, wait a minute. And everybody else bought it. So many people bought it.
And everyone got the downloadable costumes. Who doesn't want to see Zangief dressed as Mike Hagar? I'm hoping now for Marvel Capcom 3 they'll have a downloadable costume to make Mike Hagar look like Zangief. And getting back on that, though, the also on Capcom's community forum, they actually have a couple threads opened up for gamers to vote on which four or three, I believe it's three, four, or five characters they'd like to see made available as DLC. So yeah, I do believe they're looking at tweaking the game some more, throwing in new characters, and possibly ballooning the roster back up to what was it, nearly 60 players or 60 fighters in part two.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had the it got complicated because you had the primary fighters and then you had the support fighters.
Yeah,
and the support fighters were kind of, you know, didn't really count.
No, they were horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know if there was a good one to pick, I certainly didn't know what it was.
Well, I mean, like I had I played hours of it with my cousin back in the heady days of the Sega Dreamcast, and
yeah.
You know, you had characters like Mero had a projectile where she threw a little boomerang at them, and then you had, you know, other characters like Cable whose projectile was a big thick laser beam the height of his body.
Cable was great in that game.
Cable was brutal in that game.
you could do a lot of you could wreck a brother with that. But then it's like you said, the Magneto Sentinel Storm combo.
Well, you got three characters all who have multiple projectiles to hide their body.
Yeah, it got a little rough. But I mean, it's kind of cool to see some of the support characters graduate, you know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's Arthur, which is like stupid, but hey.
Now, cool. Arthur's actually, yeah. He's one of the characters in it that's actually hilarious. He always manages to bring a smile to my face.
Yeah. I have a hard time with
and
that.
And actually, this is one you would love. They've got Nolan North voicing Deadpool. every character in the game has got different taunts they use at the start of a fight against whoever the team captain is on the opposing team. Yep. And if one player's team captain is Deadpool and the other team captain is Magneto, he actually does the Welcome to Die from the X-Men arcade.
Oh, that's great. Oh, see, you gotta appreciate that.
Yeah, and I mean, the game is filled with that sort of fan service.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna hear, we're gonna hear from Steve after he listens to this podcast later in the week if he survives the diabetes from the Marvel Capcom sugar we're spooning out.
Well, you know what? I hope he enjoys it.
That's right.
Hope he enjoys the game too. You never know.
And that horse armor.
And that horse. I hope you. Yeah, I'm gonna hear about that, but you know.
Besides Marvel Capcom 3, I'm about ready to crack the cellophane on my sadly rental copy of the new Dragon Quest for DS.
Very nice.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I mean, what do we got? About a month and a half left until the 3DS launches.
Wow, is it that soon, eh?
And I mean, the DS has been such a great little portable for RPGs.
Yep.
Yeah, and this is, what better way to close that out? I mean, we weren't getting a new Final Fantasy for it.
No.
So right. What better? And yeah, it is a remake of an old SNES game, but you know, it looks pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's one that a lot of people never got a chance to play, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. I may just have to go track one down. Mm-hmm.
Ask your wife for more money.
Yeah, well, you know, that one, but at least those games are cheaper. I mean, I can trade something for that, but it was, you know, that one was on my peripheral radar. I kind of forgot about it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to enjoy that one tomorrow if we get a storm day or anything.
I do like my Dragon Warrior game.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm all for that joke, but there's something about when you look at the cover of one of these games or the instruction book and you see that old school Dragon Quest logo, that's actually, that's a warm and fuzzy feeling.
Yeah. And what I love about the games is that I love the little, like the musical touches, you know, that they just recycled themes. Kind of like what the Final Fantasy games do, but they've kind of strayed from that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, besides from like the victory song, they don't really do that so much anymore.
No, but I mean, nostalgia has its place.
Nostalgia has its place, and you know, it's like, you know, every time that priest resurrects you, you know, you get the same kind of, you know, hear that in my sleep every time I go to bed, like.
I just can't remember. Is this the Dragon Quest that's got the Scottish girl in it?
What number is it?
6.
No, that was the other one, I think.
Oh.
The other one with like the really annoying Scottish girl.
Oh.
Who I married in my storyline.
Wow. That's devotion.
It seemed the most appropriate thing. It seemed like the game wanted me to do that, and I was just like, okay, because you know I'm that kind of guy who plays, you know, the good storyline. If there's any chance of moral deviation, I usually stay with like, you know, the noble and altruistic line. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll marry the annoying, because I didn't want there to be consequences for not marrying the annoying Scottish girl.
Now, if this was a BioWare girl, there'd be consequences either way. Or a BioWare.
Well, that's the thing. And turns out I'm applying modern game logic to an older game.
Yeah.
Where I assumed there'd be some sort of cause and effect system here, where if I made this decision, bad things or good things. Turns out it's a completely superfluous decision. There's no effect whatsoever. So I just got stuck with it the whole time.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. Like you go back and I find it actually kind of ruins old games for me. Yeah. You go back and they're totally lost in their innocence, and yeah, you know, I'm applying the Mass Effect morality system to Chrono Trigger. So yeah, you're sitting there, bread makes you fat?
Since when? Yeah. Well, that's the problem.
Now, I did have plans tonight to talk a little bit about... You heard of the news that came out of Activision the past couple of weeks?
I heard a lot of things. Well, why don't you?
On their during their fourth quarter earnings breakdown, the word came down that they were canceling the Guitar Hero franchise.
Yes.
Keep in mind, it was not 2 years ago that Guitar Hero was, you know, sitting on top of the music genre with over $2 billion in U.S. sales alone. And 2 years later, gone. The Tony Hawk franchise is on hold. They can't. They put the development of any new Tony Hawk titles on indefinite hold until or due to the piss poor, dismal performance of Tony Hawk Shred. The new DJ Hero game has been put on hold, and True Crime Hong Kong has been canceled. Now, in Activision's defense, news had been coming out that the game just wasn't shaping up like it should have been.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of high profile. That's, you know, two franchises right there that are, you know, lost in the Phantom Zone, and another possible franchise relaunch just dead and buried.
Well, put yourself in Activision shoes, okay? You've got a room full of game designers taking up space.
Yeah.
You get rid of them, and that's where you put all the money from World of Warcraft.
Actually, honestly, that's... I'm hoping they're going to go down and try to make some sort of new... try to create some new franchises, because that's been the biggest complaint against Activision now for the past couple of years. I mean, we all still go out and buy Call of Duty and...
Sure.
They've still got, you know, megaton franchises like Spider-Man, and, you know, World of Warcraft is a license to print money.
Yeah, I mean, they have their cash cows, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a hard time. I mean, Guitar Hero, first of all, Guitar Hero got its ass kicked by Rock Band.
Yeah.
Completely. The second thing is that they kind of built an entire new game marketplace on the shores of a sandy beach, thinking that they could resell the same game to everybody year after year after year with expensive plastic instruments. I mean, it was like, I remember, you know, we're on Blast Processing, what, 91?
91.
I think in number 9 or something like that, we were sitting there talking about how, you know, video game stores had just become these oceans of stacks of unsold plastic instruments.
They were like mazes.
People were building forts. I mean, it was... And we were kind of just like, you know.
Nobody would dare rob an EB Games because you couldn't get out.
Right. It's not too much of a surprise.
I used to borrow yarn when I go in to buy a game.
Just to make sure you could get out.
Exactly.
I mean, I like the music genre. I have a lot of fun. It's one of the few... You know, Rock Band's one of the few games that my wife and I can play together. But I already bought the really expensive plastic instruments. I'm not going to buy them again. You know? And what, you know, they kind of cannibalize themselves with the downloadable content.
Yeah. Well,
because every week there's a new, you know, something else you can just download. So it's hard to get too excited about the new multi-million-dollar game they develop.
I mean, that's really the same stuff. And that's just it. Every time a new Guitar Hero would come out, you know, I'd take a look at the song list. And 75% of it is like, yeah, got that in Rock Band. Got that in Rock Band. Got that in Rock Band. Or even, you know, got that in Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah. And it's like, you could almost say that by Guitar Hero 2, they perfected the formula.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that was a very close to perfect game. Rock Band made it even better. But it's like, what kind of new innovations are coming out of the franchise? Really?
Nothing really. Like you said, after Guitar Hero 2, you know, after Harmonix left and went to make Rock Band, it seemed like every new Guitar Hero that came out, they were throwing in a new gimmick. Yeah. One of them had boss fights. What the latest one? Your guys had superpowers or something?
Yeah, I mean, did they really think putting Slash in my video game was going to make me more inclined to play it?
I wanted James Taylor.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. That upkempt youngster.
But honestly, this one here has been a long time coming. I'm really surprised that you could see the writing on the wall a couple years ago. Even with the huge sales, you know, like you said, when you'd be walking around in game stores and all it was huge stacked boxes of unsold plastic instruments.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I think it's a resurrectable franchise. I think maybe they just, you know, and this is a reference I can make to like the 15 Canadian people and nobody else listening. But it's like Sloan Records. You know what I mean? When there's 7 of them in 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe you just want to stop and take a break for a while.
For any American listeners, just instead of Sloan, say Weezer.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, it's, you know, 4 records in 2 years and they're exactly the same. You're kind of just like, all right, it's hard to get excited about the 5th.
I think I'm going to download number 5.
Yeah, exactly. So it's put a little, you know, let nostalgia kick in a bit, put a little time in between it, you know, give it a breather and come back to it. So it's
Tony Hawk, I'm not going to miss.
There were a lot of Tony Hawk games, man. Yeah, I mean,
that series peaked with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
I was going to say 2, but yeah, 3.
So, man, after that, again, we're just talking about gimmicks thrown in.
Yeah. Yep.
Tony Hawk Underground was a bit of a resurrection, but then the very next year, they were gone right back to the gimmicks.
Yeah, then Ride came out. What the hell was that? Yeah,
and then Tony Hawk Shred, Tony Hawk Snowboarding. What?
Yeah.
Tony Hawk snowboards now?
Probably. He's probably very good at it.
Yeah, I don't want to play as Bam Margera in a big open world crappy environment.
Yeah.
Give me my warehouse and my grind rails.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, it's you know, it must be, it's pretty frustrating for video game designers to be punished for doing their job really well.
Yeah.
You know, these are two franchises that, man, they had it right at the start. Like, they hit it out of the park. First game or two, and they had it down. And at that point, it just became a machine, you know, just outputting sequels, you know. The games had become the equivalent of a Harlequin romance.
And unfortunately, you know, we have seen the shuttering of some decent developers. Bizarre Creations is now gone.
Yep.
I wonder what's going to happen to Neversoft. I mean, they were the guys behind a lot of the earlier Tony Hawk games. They were the heirs to Guitar Hero after Harmonix moved over to EA.
The good news is that under Activision, there's plenty of places to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not lacking for, you know, teams.
No, God, no.
Fingers crossed, because, you know, hopefully the guys will land on their feet.
Yeah, I can understand the decisions here at Activision, but don't you start charging people for Call of Duty online.
I can't be too mad at Activision. They say they're gonna release Diablo 3 this year, so I'm pleased.
That's a bold promise to make.
I refuse to consider that it's not true. It's very important that I maintain the belief that it is coming this year.
All right.
Krusty is coming.
He's gone too far.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you ever get burned by your Blizzard alarm clock?
Blizzard alarm clock. Man, Diablo, you guys aren't going to see me for 6 months. Diablo 3 hits, man. I'm gone. That's all there is to it.
So our website's around in 6 months. Man, if Staley hears this, it's going to be dull. This is a negative attitude to have, John. I don't think I want you recording podcasts anymore.
Well, with riveting podcasts like this, how could it possibly go under?
You just watch now, man. I got the secret figured out now. We're going to have more listeners. But speaking of that, I think we've been at this now for about 40 minutes. And my wife's now going upstairs. And my baby's probably going to start crying any minute. And Adam's wife is probably going to hit him for asking for money.
I do know better than to do that.
So for anyone out there listening, guys, you can check out more Video Game Madness at pixelverdict.com. Or, you know, you can drop us a note if you like the podcast. Like we said, think we're nuts. Think Activision did the right thing. Think Marvel vs. Capcom 3 sucks. Just leave us a note. Let us know. You can check out our forum board over at dvdverdict.com. Or, hey, if you're one of those Facebook users, why don't you take a look at DVD Verdict on Facebook. You know, join our group. Be our friend. Like us. Get all your podcast and review information updated right on Facebook. With that, I'm John. He's Adam. You've been listening to Blast Processing, and have a great week. We're out.